The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
For the book club session today, I have Grenadian author coming in to talk to us, Mr. Devon C. Britton, and the name of his book, Suspect to Prospect, From Suspect to Prospect, Mastering Appearance, Confidence, and Opportunities. So that is something that will be interesting today to talk about. What we don't like to really say is something that we do, but perception is a thing that is in us. It's ingrained in human thinking, activity. I'm looking for another word, but it will come to me. The process of being interacting with one another. So that is part of it. So he is going to tell us a little bit about his book and the concept of it. And what would be, you know, what we get out of it. So let me just give you a little synopsis on it. Mastering Appearance, Confidence, and Opportunity from Suspect to Prospect is a transformative guide for individuals seeking to elevate their personal and professional presence. This book offers a comprehensive roadmap to harnessing the power of appearance, confidence, and strategic opportunity. Part one, The Art of First Impressions. Journey begins with an exploration of how personal presentation influences perception. See, I was telling you all that a little while ago. And chapters delve into aligning attire with aspirations, blending personal style and professionalism, and the critical role of grooming and hygiene. Yep, so we will step into that. Mr. Britton is a community development professional with over 16 years of experience across Grenada, Carrickou, and Petite Martinique as Assistant Community Liaison Officer at the Basic Needs Trust Fund within the Ministry of Economic Development. He focuses on identifying community needs, coordinating projects, and fostering grassroots development through inclusive participation and strategic partnerships. So, this would be something for young people as well, and for those who have left the job market and re-entering it. You got to catch up on the way things are done these days, and trust me, in terms of how things used to be to what it is now, there's a drastic difference. So we will be talking to him in a couple of minutes, just waiting for him to join us via Zoom, so that we can have that conversation. In the meantime, let me find out how you're feeling about the quote-unquote no tensions between CARICOM and Trinidad and Tobago. Do you believe that that is the word? Is it that we are, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it confirmed that we do have tensions? And if we don't have tensions, how do we prevent them? That is another part of the conversation. Is it that we need to pay more attention to how we relate with one another? I mean, if the cricket is anything to go by, I mean, we have to have a discussion somehow, because if it unleft unchecked, it can, you know, develop into something that is in the long run not going to help us. If it is, these things do escalate between Trinidad and, well, not Trinidad and Tobago, but United States and Venezuela. Going to quickly take one call before we step into our interview. And let's hear what you have to say. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, Tusker.
Hi.
Hi, Kirup here.
So tell me, Kirup, as a person who observes what's happening in this geopolitical space of the Caribbean, do you think that there are tensions between the leaders?
Yeah, I suspect there are. By her own admission, the decision to support the United States in their presence in international waters was a decision that she made without first consulting with her CARICOM neighbors. So me putting myself in the position of somebody like Ralph Gonzalez, for example, I would feel somewhat slighted. But combine that with the fact that they didn't find time to have any discussions with her on the one hand, but they found time to pose up for photographs with the opposition leader on the other hand, me ain't going into the optics of how that looked.
Well, you don't need to, because, I mean, pictures tell a thousand words, right?
We will be here whole day talking about that. But I think there's tension. I know that certain prime ministers, let me also say CARICOM, I know that certain prime ministers would not support her. I know that certain statements were made by Venezuela, for example, they referred to her as a junk, all that kind of thing. And I know that nobody in CARICOM raised any objection. Certain threats were made to Trinidad. Again, nobody in CARICOM raised any objection. So basically, without saying, putting it into so many words, they basically said, if Venezuela, if I'm Comrade Maduro want to march into Trinidad, into Port of any morning, me are nothing to see. That's how it came across.
Yeah, but let's hope that it was lost in translation traveling over the seas.
Some statements were made about our prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid careful attention to some of those leaders, and they basically said nothing, which was a big letdown for me.
Mm-hmm. Especially as you say, they pose for pictures and have a relationship mm-hmm. going other than that. But Kira, yes. I've got to stop you here. Hold on to this thought, though. We will continue the conversation in the next hour as well. Let's welcome our guest, Mr. Devon Britton, to Freedom 106.5 FM, all the way across the seas. Can you tell us where you are this morning? Good morning to you and welcome. Your mic is muted, so if you are saying... we're not hearing you. Let's try again. Let's check out this.
Hi.
There we go. We can hear you now. Good morning to you and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for being on your program, for inviting me on your program. Much appreciated.
No problem. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Mr. Britton. You are... Guyanese by descent? Oh, Grenadian, no, sorry? Grenadian. Nice. So tell us how you decided to start writing in the first place. What drew you to that?
Okay, so let me give you a little background. I'm Devon Britton. I'm from Grenada. I'm from one of the smallest parish in Grenada, St. Mark's.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been employed with the government of Grenada, the Basic Needs Trust Fund. That's a flagship poverty reduction program that's running islands in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. there are about 12 or 13 of the islands, and it is in collaboration with the Caribbean Development Bank. So what we do a lot of work in poor communities. It therefore means that you get to see persons, you get to listen to persons, you get to understand persons, how they operate, what the disadvantage, and it's a journey. So I've been working in this area for over 15 years.
Mm.
And so it gives me an opportunity to meet intimately with persons who are going through, who have difficulty in going through life, getting opportunities because of sometimes how they look. So what brought me to question you asked, what brought me, gave me the inspiration?
Mm-hmm.
It really is about professionals, young people, persons who want to shift career, how are they being overlooked because of how they dress and so forth and so on. Not that they lack the talent, but how they present themselves. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're very educated, you have all these degrees and so, but what makes a difference is when you go into a room and how you present yourself, you know, and sometimes people are overlooked. So this book is really a practical guide as how you can take advantage of opportunities, how you can dress the part, and how you can and be confident in taking advantage of opportunities, and so to allow those to open so that you can take advantage of those opportunities that present themselves.
Mm. So your bio does say that you are fostering the grassroots development through inclusive participation and strategic partnerships. Now, is it that you saw a need, and you mentioned it within you're saying this, that young people are not aware of the idea of dressing. Though some may disagree with you that, you know, they tend to be brand oriented and want to wear the latest fashion and all of that. So can you define what some may say is the top of the line look getting into brands, but associating your appearance with opportunities and how clothing, you know, it gives a story. Tell us a little bit about that.
Fashion is okay. Fashion is okay. But it's how you use the fashion to present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we have the fashion of cut-up jeans. Everybody wears cut-up jeans. You see some folks wearing Nike and thing with the tongue, the tongue of the shoes outside.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fashion, and they look good. But if you, for example, need to go to a setting where you have, let's say, a job interview,
mm-hmm.
all right? The fashion of wearing a cut-up pants might not cut it. You may have it, you may have the education, but that is not the appropriate place for that type of fashion. So what we're saying is that you have to know when you go to, so for example, you go into a tattoo shop, and tattoo is a going thing, everybody wants tattoo on the skin, and you choose to have an interview to work in a tattoo shop. Maybe the tattoo on the skin, that might be connect to the kind of job you want.
Mm-hmm.
But does it say well for a cashier at a supermarket where you are, you know, those young people and they're putting cross on the forehead and cross on the neck, you know? So the those are fashionable things, whether it be on the skin, whether it be clothes, but it is where you use, you have to be able to know how to dress in the appropriate way for different occasions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because some of them distressed jeans going for like $1,000, $2,000, so, you know.
That's correct. Yeah, and that's fashion.
It's fashion, that's the way it is. And, you know, but as you said, stepping into a boardroom, I mean, if you have the confidence to pull it off, you just might find, you know, the person who designed the jeans walk in with their own clothing and you know, take over the whole space. But as you said, creating opportunities or taking a hold on it, breaking away from the barriers that are put on persons the way that they dress, I think that is more of something that we should delve into, how to do that. You spoke about confidence as well, how clothing can bring out confidence in people. You know, there's so many shows on television right now where a simple makeover could do wonders for a person.
Right.
You know, how do you...
It helps build your confidence.
Yes, it does. How do you go about giving that information to young people to, you know, master the language of appearance?
All right, well, I start by writing this book because of my observing how young people... and not just young people. We have... professionals, we also have professionals who want to, you know, move up. We also have people in career who want to change career. So while the book speaks about young people, but is a practical book for persons in general,
mm-hmm.
all right? And so, but let's come back to the young people segment. Now, we started the book. My other approach is to have different, just like I'm on your program now,
mm-hmm.
to be able to speak about, to engage. And I don't have to do it by myself. I could do it with a team of people. You know, probably next time you have an interview, you could invite some of the folks from the Caribbean who, you know, seen what I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
and how we could try and instill in these young people. I mean, it's so, the fashion these days is so outrageous sometimes that you need more than just this book to bring the light to them. You need conversation, you need talk shows, you need, probably you could invite me in Trinidad one day to do a session, you know,
a workshop
session,
mm-hmm.
a workshop. All those things are important to driving. You may not get everybody, but there are those who really don't know. They don't know. I saw a young lady a few months ago going to an interview with you called a navel breaker and a push slippers in her foot, you know, and I have to ask her where she's going. I mean, but really, she don't know.
This,
you know,
another part of it,
generally don't know what it is.
Another part of it is economic situations as well. You never know if the navel breaker and the slippers were all that she had to get to the interview. You know, just doing, making the effort is sometimes the key that Or the difference that causes a manager or someone to hire someone. You know, now this goes to my question. Now, how important is the first impression necessary when, you know, getting into spaces of employment and just introducing who you are? How important is it?
Okay, so I'm happy it's because I was going to come to that. Scientists have recognized, has discovered that when you enter a room, for example, an interview session, the interviewers, within 10 seconds, before you even open your mouth, they make an opinion of you in their mind, whether you dress, or you open the door, or you pull the chair, or they already form an opinion of you in their mind, within 10 seconds. You don't have to open your mouth. So first impression is very important. Or you dress, or you look confident, And sometimes persons go to, you probably have heard about it, persons go to interview sessions or to a job for the first time and they're well-dressed, but they're shaky, you know? They're shaky. You have to give them a little time to get a little balance, you know, so that they could get into the groove of things. So the book really teaches you as well how to be confident. And if you can't do it by yourself, get help. If you want to go to an interview or you want some confidence, use your mirror. I used to use my mirror years ago. My speaking now didn't just come overnight. I used to use mirror. I have a little roll on in my hand and I talking to myself, you know, or get somebody who you look up to assist you, or somebody who's doing it to assist you. But a lot of the times, and as I mentioned, the young lady who walked into the room with a nail breaker, and I'm saying to her that if you needed help, ask somebody. A lot of time, pride take the better of us. And then we lose good opportunities because we don't want to ask for help. Help is, asking for help is okay, you know? And so this is the road we have to go down. But first appearance is very, very, very important. It says how you look, or you dress, or you open your mouth, or you enter the room. You know something, you enter the room without saying a word, and people say, oh, I can feel his presence. I could feel her presence. You know, that is because you are confident in yourself, you come prepared, you look the part, and so forth and so on. Of course, in different scenarios, in different areas, it will be different. But generally, first impression, they say sometimes is the last thing.
The important part that you brought up, asking for help and also asking persons who have the experience to guide persons in the direction of success and being prepared for opportunities. Now, there is this saying, the preparation meets opportunity, right? Yep. If it is that you are mentally preparing for the better opportunities, they do come to you. But I realize that there's also the art of creating opportunities. How does that play into what you've been writing about? And mastering appearance, confidence, and opportunity. When do you create the opportunity, if it is that you know the opportunities are hard to come by?
We have to be innovative and creative. The days where, I was saying to somebody yesterday that the days where people work, or look for a job and work for 60 years and you retire and you get a gold watch. I remember somebody saying that those days are over. So you know, you have to be, you have to be multi-skilled and multi-creative. And why the opportunities are not there, you in yourself have to be confident that you have something to offer. Having something to offer is important. What is that you have to offer that somebody would want, that somebody would run you down for? So you have to look at your skill. What kind of skill set that you have that you could use? For example, in my area, I am working. But I'm also preparing for later on. So what is it that God, when I leave this job, you know, somebody, what do I want to do that somebody will still want? And so I even do here in Grenada, a little real estate, you know, because this is continuous. You know, I always tell people these days, you don't work hard, you work smart. So what is it that you could do to work smart, to really, today is about virtual. You know, everything is on the internet. You know, writing the book. I wrote a book out of, because I see a need where some persons could be educated in a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and then writing a book these days is not hard, you know. You'd agree with me?
Well, once you have the experience, I think you would need a little help to edit and have direction.
Well,
but you speaking the words and having someone work with you, I don't think it's very hard to write a book. I mean, these days, as you said, everything is on the internet. Everything have some sort of app that you could put in, you know, what you want to say, ChatGPT and all these new AI things that I'm now learning about could just, within a couple seconds, do your whole thing. But there's a authenticity that you cannot fake.
That's
you know, so,
that's right.
And that comes from being within the experience itself. And, you know, that can come out when it is you're talking about, you know, things that like what you're speaking of. What I wanted to ask, though, from your experience, if it is there are young people who are listening right now, and you talked about a parent, what would be some of the key things that you would want to have in your wardrobe when, you know, looking for the opportunities or preparing yourself to be ready for the opportunities when they come?
Well, you see, it's some young people are focused on different things. So for the typical person who wants to follow, let's say, administration, they want to work in administration, you have proper dress covered, you have your proper shoes, the book outlines it. You'd want to have not so much dull clothing, but you know, clothing that would bring out the best shine in you. You know, and so forth. In somebody who focusing on wanting to work at a, let me bring back again, at a tattoo store, tattoo, you know, the cut of bands and girls like that, you know. So it varies. You know, it's difficult for me to say exactly what they should have in the world, but I'm saying that for whatever career or whatever they're looking at, then the appropriate dress is necessary, and that's where the book comes in. I can't give out everything now, otherwise you wouldn't buy the book.
I now understand why you're holding back on that. That's not a problem. Another thing, most importantly, too, in understanding how, as they say, to read the room, body language is part of it. In your experience, how has that helped you navigate through some of the interactions that you've been doing?
Yeah, I always have a saying that body language speaks so loud, sometimes you could hardly hear what my mouth is saying. But body language, you speak to a lot of persons, and you get a sense of what they're saying without them saying it. And so you try to sort of, you know, discuss with them, try to get out of them. Because the truth of the fact about it is, people have a lot that they want to share. They have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of times they go to the job and for whatever reason they overlooked, whether they doesn't have enough education or some people feel they don't have enough talent, but they have a zeal and sometimes frustration, you know. So I try to meet them on their level,
mm-hmm.
and see how I could be of comfort. And again, that comes back to the book that inspired me to write this book based on interaction with people and the level of, if you should put it for a better word, disappointment in them not having what the society thing that they should have to move forward.
Now, that is a
Before the other question,
so
I just want to register Latoya. She's an editor from Trinidad. She is my editor. And I just want to, I know she might be listening now, Latoya, and she writes, she assists in editing books. And not only my books, I've seen that she has been doing books, editing books for other Caribbean folks. So as they say, the Jamaicans say, big up yourself.
Big up yourself. Now, one of the points in your book as well spoke to something that a lot of people tend to ignore. And it does a lot with understanding and knowing who you are, building inner strength and mental capacity, meaning mental strength. So when you do deal or come about moments that are disappointments, you know, the difference between, okay, I'm going to pick myself up and continue, or come to a complete standstill and fold. You know, how do you develop that?
You know, it's hard. For some people, it's hard. It's difficult. When your back is against the wall and, you know, you put all your effort in something and it doesn't work out. You lose your money, you lose other people's money. Sometimes it's rough. But this is only a story in the book of life. This is not a chapter in the book of life. And a lot of people these days doesn't have the drive, I should put it, to move on after disappointment. But that's what life is about, disappointment. A famous writer say, you will fail your way to success. You know, but you can't give up. What if Einstein gave up? There was this gentleman who, I think, is the one with the electricity. Mm. He tried 99 times. He failed. Well, we say fail 99 times. He didn't fail 99 times to create light or electricity. He found 99 ways it cannot be done until he did it the last time. So I'm saying that to say that, and I hope young people are listening now, that a failure is not final. That you have to be trying, get up, dust yourself off. Look at babies. Babies fall every time. They try to creep, they fall. And what they do, they get back up. We are here, adults, foot, hand, head, brain, fully developed, a lot of us. And when we fall, we find it difficult to get back. Mm-hmm. That is life. We have to accept this as a fact. And for a lot of young people, I see that it's difficult. Well, I try something else. If this doesn't work out, try something else. Nobody's studying me. And then you find few of them turn to drugs and all. They don't have enough mentors. They're not strong enough. But I want to tell young people today that you are strong. You have strength in you. That where there is a will, there is a way, and that you could overcome anything that you put your mind in. Remember, your mind, whatever you set your mind on, that you will achieve.
Mm-hmm. And also understanding that success, let me put it to you this way. How would you advise someone? Yes, you've been disappointed over and over again, and then there's this period of success that seems to be overwhelming. I think you have to train to deal with success as well. How do you give your students that advice?
well, you know, some people, when they go through a period of drought, when the rains start to come, they waste the water. Mm. You know, but something I think you grounded is where you come from. What brought you here? I remember a story of, and I like to give little stories, so forgive me.
That's all right.
I remember.
You are a storyteller.
Some soldiers were going through Europe, and on every boundary they made before they cross into another country, the general will stop and ask them, where did you come from? Why are you here? And where are you going? Mm-hmm. And those are three questions that we ask. What are we in failure, in success? Where did we come from? What brought us to this point? And what we want to take from here to the other side, rather than just being a spectator event for us and we just go through life. And I'm coming back to the question you asked, that when you reach to a point where you overcome all the hurdles and you see prosperity in your eyes, you have to remember what brought you to this point. And is it this? Okay, so we say, I reach where I'm going now. Would you want to take what I've learned and move up to help somebody, help an organization, help a friend, help a neighbor? And that's what I said.
Yeah, always pass on the knowledge, because, you know, to continue the legacy, you have to help others.
To get where you are. And management is good. Maybe the next book I should do on how to manage your successes. Mm. coming from failure are failing, and you get the how to manage and the expectation in terms of what is expected of you when you overcome and when you achieve.
So, that's a good. Where do you? Well, you just gave me the precursor to your next book. I was now about to ask you, what direction would you be heading now that you've written this one? And do you have plans to step into other genres as well? Or are you going to be solely in the self-help aspect of writing?
All right. So I'm happy you brought it up, because 2 years ago I did a children's book. Mm. It says Tico and the Magical Ocean Cleanup. And that was for kids. I was practicing with Kindle and started and upload it on Kindle. It's still there if you look on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But I only uploaded the cover page of it. And that is there. So I want to not just write. I like also the environment, protecting the environment. I guess because it comes from my work as well. So I have a few jottings of children's book as well. And so I will focus on that in the next, probably by next year or so. But yes, a lot of young people these days need our help. They need our guidance, they need our support. And whatever I could do, whether it be writing more books, whether it could be in person speaking, whatever it is, I am opening myself to help, because all of us have a purpose in this world, and I want to use all my talents. I don't want to die with any.
To pass on the knowledge is what we are here for.
That's right. I want to live full and die empty.
Ah. So are you planning on doing things like TED Talk and other seminars, not only in your island, but, you know, going up the CARICOM chain?
Correct.
Yeah?
Correct. Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, I've always, and I want to see that now. I think you're getting, I'm seeing that first on your program. I've had other interviews.
Mm.
But I'm doing what I'm doing now, but I'm not really doing the thing that I really want to do. I've been in this job for 16 years. I always look at myself as a motivational speaker,
mm-hmm.
you know, pushing persons, encouraging persons. Because I come from a very poor family in St. Mark's, where people thought I wouldn't become nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't become nobody. I remember a lady saying to me while I was in secondary school, I was very playful. And she said to me, I don't think you'll get nothing in school. I don't think you'll get anything. And that stuck with me. And I got what I had to get with this in mind, what she told me. That pushed me, you know? And if somebody words can push you to be good, even if you have somebody there with you that giving you positive vibes, you could push you to be a better person. You know, so what I'm, my book here is my own journey. The book I've written here is my own journey, where you are overlooked, underestimated, you know, and so forth and so on, because how you look. We come from poor family, we couldn't dress well, you know, we didn't have enough to eat, you know, we have to go to school barefoot, we have to suck mango. At one point in school, they used to call me Mango Man, because I had to, my parents, when you come from school, go and climb mango tree. That was your breakfast, tea, breakfast and dinner, if you want to put it that way, you know. And then you connect with people. Just I used to connect with people who think like me, you know. I would go and sit and listen to them. I would emulate them. I would always there listen to what they're saying and try to be, you know, like them, and positive people. You know, positive people. And that, and then I start listening to motivational tips, Les Brown, T.D. Jakes.
Well, you're calling some big names right there, Les Brown. Yes,
and those things shape me. So I'm saying to you, even if by yourself, you could do it if you make up your mind to do it. You know, so this book is really a journey of my life, and seeing how, through my work, how I could relate to the people I meet in Grenada and in the wider Caribbean, because I've been traveling, doing my work a lot of the time.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Britton, in giving us, you know, the ideas behind your book, and I wish you all the success. Are there places that you can get your book right now? You did mention Amazon. Is this one on Amazon as well?
Right. So this one is on Amazon. It's on Amazon Kindle. It's read only for now. We are working on the paperback. It should be out by October. But it's read only $7.99. Let me just say clearly that you need to download it either on your Kindle device, mm-hmm. or you could download it on your phone. But it's read only. All right, so you can order it to get it's not the paperback is not ready as yet. So as soon as it's ready, I will put out a flyer saying that it's ready. So you can order it on Amazon. But for now, it's $7.99 US on Kindle.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I thank you so much, and here's best of luck to your team. And who knows, if you do come to Trinidad and Tobago, see us here at Freedom 106.5 FM so we could talk about your next project.
I appreciate that a lot. And thank you for having me. And thank you for your listeners for listening.
No problem. Take care. Yes. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.